What's up, college baseball fans? Welcome to episode 8 of the 2020 season for the 11.7 podcast, brought to you by Foul Pole Sports. Go check out Foul Pole Sports' website with the blogs, videos, and even a college baseball team store where you can get all different merchandise from college baseball fans. So today's going to be a great episode. We're going to talk a little bit about some midweek action, including a 30-run performance. Yes, 3-0. We're going to talk about the upsets that occurred. We're also going to break down some tournament play that's been going on this weekend. And as usual, we will do our top 6 weekend series pick'em challenge that you, the fans, can get involved with. So stay with us, and we're going to have a great episode. It is Thursday, and we are recording this after another great day of college baseball. We had back-to-back days in the midweek where we had some very, very crucial upsets to the rankings. Again, we are joined with Dimitri today. Dimitri is going to do the podcast from now on, and he does a great job. So, Dimitri, say what's up to the new listeners.
What's up, new listeners?
Yeah, we're getting more and more every episode. It's getting kind of crazy. So, seems like we're doing a pretty decent job just kind of giving a little bit of college baseball facts and, I don't know, opinions to kind of make it a little bit more entertaining. So gotten some good feedback this year. We're on year 2, and we're excited for just the long marathon of a season because we're going to make it exciting for you guys.
And you know what I'm excited for?
What's that?
I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's coming when we get into a heated debate.
Oh, yeah, we got into plenty of those last year. And they're all, I think, in good spirits, except for we will run across some people that are just very bitter, very, very just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Who are you?
I mean, last night I tweeted something about Vandy being pitcher U. And this guy was like, oh, Vandy's not pitcher U. Tim Corbin is the reason, blah, 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 blah. Tim Corbin is Tim Corbin. And like, I'll name 5 schools that are better pitching, that develop pitchers better. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I feel bad for you.
I saw that exchange. And obviously he's not a Vanderbilt fan. He's probably a fan of another team, maybe in the SEC or maybe out West. But he didn't have any good arguments. And that's what I was kind of upset about. I wish he would have came at us with some facts and educated us, because we would have given him the stage to explain why Vanderbilt is not the best at developing pitchers. Because if you look at it, look at their track record, they've had probably 5 or 6 MLB All-Stars come out of that school in the last decade or so. How many other schools can say that? There's not.
They got a first-round arm every single year.
Multiple first-round arms. I can think of probably 5 or 6 off the top of my head with David Price, Sonny Gray, Tyler Beattie, Carson Fulmer, Walker Buehler. The list
coming up.
Yeah, we got Kumar Rocker, and it's just maybe the guy has a point. Maybe Vanderbilt's not the best at developing arms. We don't have any stats that can show progression from one to the other. But the results speak for themselves, and that's the one thing I wish he would have. I wish he would have tried to tell us a little bit more.
Come at us. Bring it. The noise.
What did he say? Did he say UCLA and Arkansas were the two that he could name? Is that right?
No, he didn't name anything. He just.
Maybe it was somebody else, but I can see UCLA being up there for sure. Vanderbilt, UCLA.
Hey, speaking of future Vandy arm, how about that boy, Lil Leiter?
Oh yeah, Al Leiter's son is an absolute animal. He looked like a Friday guy. If you would have just said, show me the videos of him striking 12 out in 5 innings, I'd have said, oh, is that their Friday guy? But no, he's throwing on midweeks. I know he's a freshman and all, but that is a top 10 arm in the nation right now. You cannot convince me otherwise. Because South Alabama's a good team.
I don't know. Top 10 might be stretching it, but the point
is... he is a top 10 arm. I promise you. His stuff was... I mean, I hate saying this because we've only seen him once.
Fun to watch.
I think his stuff is better than Kumar Rocker's. Like,
presence. I mean, yeah, no. You know what I noticed? Kumar, you ever see him striking somebody out with his fastball? Always ball in the dirt 3 feet outside.
So yeah, his slider does break sharp and late.
That good, and it plays off his fastball, but I never see him just mowing people down with his fastball.
Yeah, he's definitely a wipeout slider kind of guy, and I think he would agree with that too. But
Leiter just had that presence. Now, I love the hell out of watching that. I could sit there.
Yeah, you could tell he's the son of a former big leaguer because his presence was great. And dude, honestly, it would not surprise me one bit if he turns out to be Friday or Saturday guy for him by the end of the year. Because I don't know if you remember from last year, but Kumar Rocker kind of struggled the beginning of the year.
No, he had his ups and downs.
Yeah, and then at the end of the year, he turned it on and just became an absolute beast. But
can we both agree, Al Leiter, the next stud, and Vandy is pitching you.
Yeah, we'll see how he develops. I mean, it's just crazy to me that somebody in this college baseball world would just be so refused to believe that Vanderbilt's not the pitching university. And we'll move on from this topic because I really don't want this to be a too long of a show. It's a midweek show, and we have a lot to talk about. But yeah, there was another former big leaguers kid that had another great day yesterday. Jared Karros, Eric Karros' son. I think he went 5 innings, 6 strikeouts against. Who did they play?
UC Riverside, maybe.
No. He played Loyola Marymount. He went 5 innings, 6 run, or 5 innings, 6 strikeouts, 1 run. And someone tweeted us a video of his film of the performance, and I mean, he was the same way. Just it looked like he was a high school senior out there playing against freshmen, but it wasn't even close to that. Loyola's a good team. We saw him last year in the regional. That Jared Karros, probably not as good as Jack Leiter, but at the same time, how cool would it be to see those two match up in Omaha one day? And
for sure. Karros' younger son is committed to UCLA as well.
Yeah, and so Eric Karros went to UCLA. I looked up his stats. And just for a little fun trivia question for the listeners, in case this does happen.
We got it, the answer.
Yeah, so Eric Karros faced Al Leiter in the big leagues 5 times and went 0-for-5 against Al Leiter. So obviously Jack Leiter won't be hitting against Jared Karros, and Jared Karros won't be hitting because they're both pitchers. But there's a good chance that we could see them matching up in Omaha or a super regional sometime this year. So, or we have 3 more years of this too. So we'll see the matchup against each other. And I think that'd be pretty cool to see 2 former major leaguer sons. It'll be good for the game of college baseball. But so Vanderbilt takes care of business this midweek, unlike a couple of other ranked teams. Let's talk a little bit about some of these upsets. And it might be too early to say upsets because we really don't know, besides some preseason rankings, what these teams really are.
February midweeks are not an accurate indicator of what the hell happened.
So we're not going to get carried away with Wright State putting it on Louisville today, 10-3. We're not going to get carried away with who was another upset today? Nicholls State beats LSU 4-2.
Lost to Santa Clara.
Yeah. And Campbell beat East Carolina. Like, those 3 upsets, you can't really weigh those too much because...
I don't think I would consider Campbell beating East Carolina as much of an upset.
Yeah, it definitely is. East Carolina is a good team. I know Campbell's had a couple good years in a row, but if you took anybody off that East Carolina team, they'd be one of the better players at Campbell.
You know what I say? I say if Campbell took 2 out of 3 in a weekend series against East Carolina, I would say that's an upset. But a midweek, I mean, I think...
Yeah, it was on the road for East Carolina too. So that, I mean, that even hurts their case for an upset even more. So I agree.
You know what I mean? Like a weekend series, that's an upset. But a midweek, I think they're balanced enough.
Right. But dude, on the other hand, let's talk about how many times has LSU lost an in-state midweek game in the last 3 years?
Literally, when I was looking at the schedule yesterday or the day before, and I saw Nicholls State, I was like, upset alert. I bet Nicholls State. Remember? Not staying on the pod? Yeah. I swear, we need the soundbite of that. I said it on Sunday. Nickel State was going to beat LSU.
Yeah, no, you definitely did. Dude, I mean, think about it. I mean, LSU is super talented this year. Don't get me wrong. But over the last 3 or 4 years, I know in my head it's happened probably 4 or 5 times, and we'll have to double check. But in-state midweek games give the LSU Tigers the most trouble I've ever seen. And I know it's the World Series for Nicholls State. They get to host LSU. And it's happened with, like, Northwestern State and Louisiana Tech. Like, those schools beat LSU all the time. Tulane, like, so it's tough on LSU because they're going into, you know, a ballpark not nearly as nice as theirs. And the atmosphere is just as crazy. And they don't want to be there. But Nicholls State wants to win this game more than anything else on their schedule. So it's a tough scenario. But it's kind of getting comical how bad LSU is against in-state teams. Yeah, it's kind of like a pride thing. Like, come on, LSU, let's win some of the games in your home state so you have some recruiting, you know, bragging rights. But yeah, that's, I mean, you called it on Sunday. You said Nicholls State's going to beat LSU.
And I said it.
I know, and I did not disagree with you because I know LSU, I mean, that's their Achilles heel. It's like they can't win those games. They never have. And it's just hilarious now.
Bro, 24, I don't know the exact number, but it was about 24 games were canceled yesterday and today.
Yeah, because of the rain. And mostly on the East Coast, I think, right? Like the Gulf Coast, yeah, East Coast area.
Like the South and the East Coast.
Yeah, we're in that time of the year where it just rains every single day. I mean, when was the last time? You're in Atlanta, I'm in Macon, so not too far from each other. When was the last time you saw sunlight? It's been probably 10 days since I've seen sunlight.
The sun doesn't come around very often.
Yeah, it's so bad that I've debated going in the tanning beds of Planet Fitness because they're free. Just because my skin hasn't seen any kind of sunlight.
No, but I mean, North sucks. Getting
out. I was kidding about the tanning beds, Mom.
And finding out it's canceled and turning around.
Yeah. So if you were the coach of one of these teams, let me ask you this: you get a midweek in February canceled. Are you trying to make it up, or are you trying to just cancel it off the schedule and not worry about it?
39 wins in May. Damn right, I'm trying to reschedule that.
That's one of those, like, you put it on hold. Like, I think Ole Miss and Arkansas State had a midweek yesterday. Was it Arkansas State or Alcorn State? One of those two.
Ole Miss doesn't give a shit. Arkansas State might need it.
Yeah. So it's definitely one of those things like, hey, we'll keep in touch. And like around April or May, we'll figure out if we actually need this game or not. But yeah, no, how funny is that? That out of these 24, 25 games that have been rained out, I bet maybe 5 of them get made up because these coaches really don't care. Like, they're not in any hurry to make up a game. They're just looking to save their pitchers. But
you still want to try to get your hit the 54, 53, 54, 55 mark, if not all.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. But I mean, you saw it today. There was a bunch of rainouts yesterday. No doubleheaders today. Like, if they lost a game, they lost a game. It's like, whatever, we'll play you again tomorrow. But anyways, dude, another team, and we totally skipped over this when we were talking about LSU, another team that has struggled mightily in in-state midweek games is the Florida Gators. And we almost saw.
Yep, they got their walk-off tonight.
Against Jacksonville. So the Jacksonville Dolphins got absolutely murdered yesterday by the Gators. Come back today, hit a 3-run homer in the first with one out, and they go 28 outs in a row without scoring a run, and they lose 4-3. Think about that. One out in the first, they hit a 3-run homer, and they didn't score the rest of the game.
That's tough to do. I mean, I've seen it happen so many times.
I mentioned this last year on the show. This is something that the listeners should fact check. But when UT Martin, the year after I left UT Martin, they played Memphis, and the leadoff batter hit a home run for UT Martin, top of the first. They went 14 innings without scoring after that. So they lost 2-1 in 14 innings, and the first batter of the game hit a homer.
Like, A&M scored 27 the first two innings, then didn't score for 2 innings.
I'm about to do the math right now because I forgot to do it earlier. But after 2 innings, Texas A&M was on pace. So 13.5 per inning for the first two times 8 because they wouldn't have batted the ninth.
That's 117 runs.
Well, they wouldn't have batted in the ninth because they're the home team. So they were on pace to score 108 runs. 108 runs. 27-0 in the first two innings. And guess what? Over the next five innings, they got outscored 2-1. No, actually, no, I take that back.
It was 3-2.
3-2, they outscored Prairie View. So it was a 3-2 game after the second inning. So props to Prairie View for trying hard and competing. But
it was put the ball on the ground, run hard to first base, get out.
Yeah. But I saw where that was the second most runs Texas A&M has ever scored in a game.
How about that man Zach Deloach from Texas A&M? Freaking hitting .833 after four or five games. 10 for 12, two homers, six RBIs, and five walks.
What's his on-base percentage? It's got to be close to 900. I mean, he's been on base.
Lower the on-base percentage, but he's hitting .833 after four or five games.
He's been on base 15 out of 17 plate appearances, which is unbelievable. And I know, obviously, the rule of averages says he's going to go through a slump pretty soon. But, I mean, dude, if you put me on a field with 12-year-olds, I couldn't get on base 15 out of 17 times. Like, it's just hard to do.
Shout out to Zach Deloach because enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, enjoy the hot streak while it lasts. Don't change anything in your morning routine and game day routine. Don't change a thing. But
hey, whatever girl he's talking to right now, he better secure it real quick.
Yeah, same girl every night for sure. Dimitri, were you pretty like superstitious when you played?
Honestly, the things that I can talk about on here, I wasn't too superstitious. You know, I always put my left cleat on first.
No, you were one of those guys.
It was a habit almost. It became a habit. It wasn't so much okay. Like, oh my God, I have to do this. It was just, I did it.
Thank God it was just a habit. Because I thought you were about to be one of those psycho pitchers that just had to have his left cleat on first. And
Superstitious-wise, I don't think I did anything like, OMG, I got to do this or anything.
Everything just became a habit for you.
The only thing I can think of is at some point in the day, I had to eat a peanut butter jelly.
Okay. Did you make it yourself?
Always.
Always. Are you more peanut butter or jelly on your sandwich?
Dude. I like about 40% peanut butter, 60% jelly.
Ah, you're more jelly guy.
A little more jelly.
I think I'm the opposite. I'm 60-40 peanut butter to jelly ratio, but that's a good question because, I mean, I probably ate 200 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches while I played college baseball.
200, that's not enough. More.
That's like one a game. It's like one a game.
I always had a second.
So, yeah, I didn't have the metabolism for that. I would have been 400 pounds.
You know what was my go-to?
Barbecue. What's that?
Put in between the bread.
Okay.
To make it
There's just so many different ways to make a PB&J, but I think college baseball has taught us the perfect way to make it, in our own opinions. We just made so many of them. Let me ask you this. All right.
Ever made a PB&J with a spoon?
All the time. No, my favorite, Dimitri, I know you did this. Did you ever get one of those wooden popsicle sticks, like from the trainer's bag, and make them?
Covered in peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's the best way to do it. Get a little bit of splinters from the wood.
In your bag, grab you a wooden tongue stick. But honestly, dude, I'd made PB&Js with a spoon so many times that I started doing it at home with a metal spoon. Like, just out of habit.
College baseball taught us so much about the real life. I love it.
Shit. I am so messed up. I am really making PB&J with a spoon.
I love it, man. But yeah, so I guess another big topic from today, Servideo hits a walk-off home run against Alcorn State. Got to tell the story. Literally 2 minutes after we make a design that looks somewhat similar to him. We can't technically say it's him, but we made a t-shirt of a silhouette that looks very similar to Servideo from Ole Miss. And right when we completed it, or right when Dimitri completed it, he hits a walk-off home run. Like, it was just the foul pole bump. It was incredible. Never seen anything like it. But for all the listeners out there, you guys should check out the shirt. It's a really good shirt.
Trending. Swayze blonde.
Yep. So, it's on Foul Pole Sports' website. It's really, really neat design, and we're going to start doing some more of those.
Go get you one, hottie-totty. Gosh almighty, who the hell are we? Go get you one.
Man, something about that I don't like that slogan or song or whatever you call it from Ole Miss.
It goes, "Hotty toddy, gosh almighty, who the hell are we? Flim flam bim."
Stop that, dude. I'm not a fan of anybody in the SEC, but I bet that gets super annoying listening to that every single football game. Anyways, let's move on from that. That's enough. We canceled Ole Miss last year, and there's still a lot of fans that don't listen to the show because how much we bashed Ole Miss. I don't really remember why.
New year, new host on the show. I'm giving.
Yeah, no. They served their year suspension. I think it was because they lost a midweek game to North Alabama or something the day after I ranked them like fifth in the nation. They just totally embarrassed me. I think that's why I canceled them. But there's a lot of bitter Ole Miss fans out there that don't like us very much. But we had to do what we had to do.
Ben, before I forget, I need to point this out. We've got an issue out west.
Uh-oh, what's that?
What is Arizona State known for?
Their offense, and they're not scoring runs right now?
Their offense, right? Last year, we coined them the Bash Bros, right? I mean,
right.
Okay, they lost a couple guys. Arizona State has scored 18 runs in their first six games. If you're a math major, you know what that average comes out to.
That's three a game.
Three runs a game, okay? They're 2-3. They've scored three runs in their losses.
Well, I know their pitching staff's really stepped it up this year. I think they're only average giving up like 3.5 or 4 runs. All of their games have been close. Their pitchers have been doing a great job. And their hitters just – well, you know what the problem is? Teams have already started intentionally walking Spencer Torkelson like once or twice a game. He's leading the nation in walks right now because they're just not pitching to him.
No, I know exactly what you mean. When you take a team's best hitter, take the bat out of his hand.
Yeah. I mean, it's something you really can't do in any other college sport. Like college football, their best player is going to touch the ball. College basketball, their best player is going to touch the ball. In college baseball, you don't have to pitch their best players.
No. Here's my message. Those other eight hitters better step the hell up.
And I bet Spencer Torkelson has them in the locker room saying, "Hey, guys, you better do it now because I can't do it." And it got so bad where Oklahoma State, I think, intentionally walked him to get the bases loaded, put the winning run on second base yesterday against Oklahoma State. And, I mean, Spencer Torkelson was about to walk up and say, "I'm going to end this game right here." And they're like, "Actually, go to first. We'll load the bases up. We're not scared of whoever's batting up next." So, I mean, it's got to be annoying for him. And it's kind of like annoying as a college baseball fan. Like, I want to see this guy try to hit 30 homers this year. Because I think he has the potential for sure. I mean, he's hit two and probably I think he only has like 9 or 10 at bats.
Yeah, no, the other eight hitters need to step the hell up because three run the game, you are not gonna win. And I'm not discrediting Arizona State pitching staff, but they're not gonna get through the Pac-12.
Right.
Scoring three run the game. It's early.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll go through a week where they'll score 18 runs a game. Like, it's just one of those things with Arizona State.
But, hey, they need to get going.
And I'll tell you this. It's much better to be hot at the end of the year than the beginning of the year because these February games for them don't really matter too much.
Actually, I think you're wrong there.
Really?
I think you want to be hot early, cold middle, hot end.
I mean, yeah, if we're using that logic. I was just saying, like, first half of the season, I'd rather be cold. Second half, that's where you got to heat up. That's what the committee looks at too. Like, what teams are hot right now?
Up, down. I think there's three to every season: hot, cold, hot, or cold, hot, cold. The teams that go cold and then get hot just miss out every year. Those are your bubble teams that do not get in.
I mean, that's something that we'll have to look up. I don't know, man. I don't know the stats behind that, but. Arizona State's not worried. Like, I'm sure they're probably sitting there like, "Dang, we got to fix some stuff," but they're not hitting the panic button. That's for sure. Anyways, dude, let's talk a little bit about like the four big tournaments going on. I know there's a bunch of other little tournaments, but we got the Round Rock Classic, we got the Britain Resorts Invitational, we have the Kleberg Bank Classic, and we have the Tony Gwynn Legacy. So let's start with the Round Rock Classic, just because I think that one's the biggest of the four, or at least the most notable teams. There's only four teams in it. You got the Houston Cougars, Tennessee Volunteers, Stanford Cardinal, and the Texas Tech Red Raiders. this tournament is it has the capabilities of some real firepower. Like, you're looking at four teams that all can see themselves hosting. They all want to host a regional, and the only way to get that regional host is by winning these tournament games, putting that on the resume. So, for example, like, the Houston Cougars had high expectations for this year. They really did. And then they go and lose opening weekend 2 out of 3 to Youngstown State. Not a good look. They got to bounce back this week if they want to, you know, at least have a chance to host. Tennessee is another one of those SEC teams that people forget about. They're super talented. One of my favorite head coaches, too. Yeah, they can freaking hit. And then Stanford had another disappointing weekend with Cal State Fullerton.
They lost again to Santa Clara.
And then they lost to Santa Clara. So not a good start for Stanford, even though a lot of people have them projected to, you know, host a regional, make it to a super regional, and possibly make it to Omaha. And then Texas Tech, who, I mean, dude, I don't know if you saw what they did this past weekend, but holy crap, those guys can freaking play. Those guys can play.
They annihilated them.
Yeah. I mean, Nate Rombach.
I watched them against Houston Baptist, and it was just like, Houston Baptist, what are you doing here?
Dude, actually, I'm going to pull up their stats real fast, or like their games. I don't even know how to say it. Like, their runs scored per game. I don't know if I'll do the math. I might just read them off. But, I mean, they're averaging like 18 and a half runs a game. Something.
Yeah, that's dumb. All right, Ben, let's go. Pick your winner of this tournament.
24-3,
22-4.
That's a
lot of runs. We don't need to do math. That's a lot of runs.
Yeah, I was trying to do it in my head. I mean, that's like pushing what their football team scored this year. I mean, wow. So if you had to pick a winner.
Yeah, I agree.
If you had to pick a winner from these four teams, who you taking and why?
I'm going with the Tennessee Volunteer.
Really? You're going Tennessee?
I'm going with Tennessee. I think they show up and make some noise this weekend.
Well, they got a Friday night game with Texas Tech. And
yep, 8 o'clock Friday night against Texas Tech. I'm taking the Vols.
Dude, I'll go ahead and take the Red Raiders. Talent-wise, them and Tennessee and Stanford all have really good recruiting classes from last year. They all have impact freshmen that are expected Alaric to play quite Soulard. A bit.
That's my guy. Alaric Soulard. That's my guy for Tennessee.
Yeah, he went to my rival high school. He was a lot younger than me, but I remember going working a baseball camp one time. It was a showcase for, and it was like a bunch of small schools like Sam Houston and Stephen F. Austin, A&M Corpus Christi. It was like one of those showcases. I was working it and he was there and I was like, holy crap, this kid's better than anybody else in high school right now, guaranteed. So yeah, he went to my rival high school and then he went to my rival junior college. So I don't know if I'm allowed to like him, but I'm just kidding. I mean, he's a beast hitter. So, okay. So you're taking Tennessee. I'm taking Texas Tech. Who knows though? I mean, Houston could step up big time and show the whole nation.
Stanford's reeling right now. I don't see Stanford in Houston. I mean, we all know what could happen. Houston could roll out and freaking win the thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all four of these teams are talented enough to compete with anybody in the nation. But right, Houston and Stanford did not look good this past week. That's for sure. Moving on, we got the Britain Resorts Invitational. Coastal Carolina hosts this one. And maybe not the biggest names in the nation, but, I mean, there's six teams in here that all are pretty solid. St. Joe's had a really good week in Atlanta. They beat Georgia Tech on Sunday. Is that right?
I think
11-1. I'm pretty sure they beat Georgia Tech on Sunday 11-1. You got Illinois,
they did not.
Kennesaw State.
They beat St. Joe's, beat Ohio State, lost to Pittsburgh, lost to Iowa, lost to Kent State.
Oh, I'm thinking of St. John's. My bad.
Did beat Georgia Tech.
All right, so St. Joe's is not good. St. Joe's is no bueno. Western Carolina, we've seen them in the SoCon quite a bit. They're not great, but then you got Coastal Carolina, Illinois, Kennesaw State, and West Virginia. Those four teams are not bad.
Coastal, I don't need to hear anything else. You can explain your pick. I'm taking Coastal just because, and my why, oh, they're just a better team.
Dude, they're young, though. They're going to be – they're really young this year. Parker Chavers, their best hitter, is out. They won a game today 4-3 against UNCW. I'm going to go ahead and take West Virginia. West Virginia, they lost a lot last year. I mean, they're a team that hosted a regional last year. And their season ended on, like, the worst way possible.
Oh, my God, that walk-off grand slam.
Up by three to Texas A&M. Walk-off grand slam. And they're used to being the home team in that ballpark. And they had to be the visitors in that regional for the elimination game. And, I mean, that's just a tough way to lose a season. But I still think West Virginia is going to compete up there in the Big 12.
Virginia, I got the chance.
All right. Well, that's good. We'll see. Next one is the Kleberg Bank Classic. This one's in Corpus Christi. Texas A&M Corpus Christi hosts it. And then you got Utah, Missouri, and Kansas State all coming down south to the beach of Texas to compete at the Corpus Christi Hooks Field. Awesome field. I'm going to go ahead and take – I like Missouri this year. I think they're going to win this tournament pretty easily. What do you think?
I'm going with Missouri.
So both of us have Missouri. I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things where you got to take the SEC team. When they're playing a very low-level Big 12 team,
Yeah, I mean, Missouri should win that one.
Missouri should win that one. But don't be surprised, man. A&M Corpus Christi's got some guys that, you know, they get junior college guys all the time that come in and nobody really knows what to expect, and they play well. So they'll be excited to play there, that's for sure, in front of the home crowd. Last tournament, the Tony Gwynn Legacy, probably my favorite tournament besides the Houston College Classic every year. The Tony Gwynn Legacy, they play half the games at San Diego State, half the games at University of San Diego. So there's a bunch of teams in this one. You got San Diego, San Diego State, USC, Iowa, Seattle, Arizona, Southern Illinois. Arizona is one of my sleeper teams to make Omaha, so I'm going to go ahead and roll with them to win this thing. I know that Iowa's one of the most analytical and player development schools out there that most of you guys don't even know about. They had like their whole analytics team, and they've been really improving that program over the last 5 years. In fact, I think they've been a 2 seed in a couple regionals recently. So don't be surprised if Iowa goes out west and does some damage.
I'm going with the Huskers. I'm going with Nebraska.
Is Nebraska in that tournament?
Yep.
No. Yeah, they are. That's okay. I didn't write them down. But, yeah, they absolutely are. Well, that almost changes my pick. No, I'm still going to roll with Arizona. But you're right. Yeah, Nebraska plays San Diego on Friday. They play San Diego State Saturday. And they play Arizona Sunday. So it might come down to our Sunday 10 a.m. game. Arizona versus Nebraska to see who wins this thing.
Yep, I'm going Nebraska. I think they're talented enough to win it.
How about Nebraska putting up 11 runs in the first inning of the season against Baylor?
Right? Crazy.
That's crazy. Baylor had all those guys suspended.
Due to Baylor.
Yep. So, yeah, those are the four tournaments that, at least the four bigger ones. Like, I know Notre Dame's hosting a tournament in San Diego, or sorry, not San Diego, San Antonio, Texas. The teams there are a little bit smaller. I don't know if we have enough coverage to really cover that tournament, but that one's out there. And then there's one in, I think, Nashville. It's a smaller tournament as well. But this is a good time of college baseball season because you play in these tournaments where they're playing different teams every day. I like that. Sometimes, you know, playing the same team 3 days in a row gets kind of old. But the last segment we're going to do on the show, if you guys remember, we did a top 10 series pick'em last year. And I think we're going to stay with the top 10 series pick'em where you guys can compete with us. But since this week there's a bunch of tournaments going on, we're doing a top 6 series pick'em. So we're each going to pick 3 series for each other. And whoever gets all 3 of them right, or whoever gets the most right, it's best 2 out of 3. So if your team wins 2 out of 3 or sweeps, You get a point, and we're each going to get 3. So the 6 series are going to be Dallas Baptist at North Carolina, Oregon State at Mississippi State, Florida at Miami. You're going to have Tulane at Cal State Fullerton, Georgia Southern at East Carolina, and Wake Forest at Long Beach State. So those are going to be the six series. We'll have a graphic. We'll post it to Twitter and Instagram. You guys send us your pick for all six series. We did it last year where the person who won the most got a special shout out on the show. So we'll probably do something similar to that this year. But yeah, we're going to alternate. So like, for example, Dimitri's going to give me a series that I have to pick from. So out of those six, which one are you giving me, Dimitri?
First one up, Tulane, Actile State, Fullerton.
Dang, that was the one I was going to give you first because I don't really have a good read on it. Tulane's kind of been hot recently. They started the season 4-0.
The sweep over Gulf, Florida Gulf Coast and a midweek over Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, they won a close one today, even though they were up 8-0 after two innings. They ended up winning 9-6. But Cal State Fullerton looked really good against Stanford. Yeah, they played Stanford last weekend. Won 2 out of 3. I'm taking Cal State Fullerton at home. Tulane's got to travel a long ways to go play that series. So I like Cal State Fullerton at home. So now I have to give you two series. I'm going to give you... I'm just going to give you the Miami-Florida one because I know Miami's your favorite team.
Give me the cane.
Knew you were going to take that.
Florida have taken Miami to the woodshed.
All right, let's see it.
I can't even tell you when the last time Miami took 2 out of 3. In Gainesville, even worse. In Miami, I think it's not too long ago. I could be wrong, but I'm taking Miami.
So you're saying Miami's due. And we have this series – number one versus number two. We have Miami ranked number one in our poll that we released.
Showdown.
Yeah, so it's one versus two. So you're taking Miami at home to win 2 out of 3. This is going to be one of those all-timer series. Like, this is a series that I wish we'd be getting in May or June. But who knows? We might see them in a Super Regional or the World Series matched up with each other. And then the other one I'm going to give you is Oregon State, Mississippi State.
All right. You're giving me Oregon State, Mississippi State?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Talk about two teams that for like 2 years in a row were on top of the world, like on top of the college baseball world.
Mississippi State?
It's at Mississippi State, yeah. And
give me Hale State.
I think that's a good pick. But, dude, think about this. The last 2 or 3 years, we've seen these teams in Omaha. We've seen these teams in a position to have a really good chance to win the College World Series. And this is the year where I don't want to – I think it's too early to say that it's going to be a down year for both of these schools. But they just lost so much talent. I don't know how many total draft picks they've lost in the last 2 years. And we saw first overall talent with Adley Rutschman and Ethan Small. I know there's a couple other guys that went like the third, fourth round. This is the year where both of these teams are going to have to replace their front end talent. And I know they're loaded because I've seen their recruiting classes, but I'm excited for the series just because I'm going to figure out a lot about each one of these teams. And I mean, good for Mississippi State. I'm glad that they're hosting this series and I'm glad they actually got this scheduled because you don't really see two titans of a college baseball program schedule each other much. And like last week we saw Louisville schedule Ole Miss, and this week we have Oregon State and Mississippi State. Usually those teams kind of stay away from each other to keep some secrets and maybe plan for the future for postseason baseball. But I'm glad this series is happening. I think it's going to be a really good one. You got any thoughts on it?
Not too much. I just think Oregon State had way too much change and turnover in the program. Now, if they were in May, I might think about it a little bit more. But right now, I'm taking Mississippi State just from pure consistency, and they're a good ball club.
Yeah, and think about this: Mississippi State kind of for a little bit struggled with Wright State on Friday, and then people are like, "Oh man, that's not a good look." Well, Wright State went ahead and beat Louisville 10-3 today. Like, what's up with that? I mean, maybe Wright State's the real deal.
And let me think. All right. I'm going to give you one now.
All right. You have to give me two. Snake draft.
Huh?
I said, you have to give me two. It's a snake draft.
Okay, Georgia Southern, East Carolina.
Give me the Pirates all day, every day. Alec Burleson, Jake Kuchman are going to win games 1 and 2, and I'll be sitting pretty.
All right. So you got the Pirates, East Carolina. No explanation necessary. And I'm going to give you Wake Forest, Long Beach.
Dude, why are you giving me the two West Coast games? Like, I'm going to have to stay up until past midnight to watch these now.
Hey, I'm just going with strategy here.
I think Wake Forest's offense is way too much for Long Beach State. Long Beach State is another one of those teams that, I mean, you remember the last year, like all the drama their baseball program had, fired the coach. I think Wake Forest goes over there and just absolutely obliterates them. I think the series won't even be close.
I hear you. I would have probably taken Wake as well.
Yeah, I mean, Lanzulli, and I'm forgetting. Oh my God, I'm forgetting their other Seymour. Lanzulli, Seymour, those guys are two of the better hitters in the nation. I think Lanzulli might be up there with. He might be up there with like Torkelson and Nick Gonzalez and. Who else is in that? Heston Kirkstead. Like those three guys plus Lanzulli from Wake Forest might be the top four in home runs hit this year. Like those guys just are on a different level.
They do have juice.
And then you get the toughest series of them all. Dallas Baptist at North Carolina. Who you got for that one?
While you were just talking, I was staring at it because I was like, oh, Carolina easily, but hold the phone. Honestly, give me Dallas Baptist.
I love it, man. I love it.
Give me Dallas Baptist.
They're going to be ready for this series, dude. Dallas I promise
Baptist
you.
Friday night, Carolina takes Saturday, and Dallas Baptist wins the series on Sunday.
Yeah, Dallas Baptist bullpen is the real deal, and bullpen wins series. We all know that. I promise you, this is a series Dallas Baptist has probably been looking forward to since like 2012 when they scheduled it. They wanted to go to a powerhouse and just embarrass them on their own field and help their RPI. I guarantee you, North Carolina, most of the players on that team, like obviously the coaching staff knows how good Dallas Baptist has been recently. Those players are going to highly underestimate Dallas Baptist coming into that place. Dallas Baptist is going to come in there with a plan, and I love that pick from you. I think Dallas Baptist wins 2 out of 3, like fairly easy.
I think Dallas Baptist can do it.
I think they can too.
I don't know. I'm probably 51% confident.
51%. That's more than 49. That's for sure. Dimitri, you got anything else you want to say before we get off? Oh, and by the way, sorry. Let me get there.
I think great show. We covered a lot. I just think it's gonna be a good weekend. A lot of baseball. So fans.
Yeah. Are you gonna post the top series pick'em challenge for our fans to?
That will be posted. It can be posted in the next 5 minutes.
Well, let's wait until.
It'll be up in the morning for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'll say, let's wait in the morning for all of our listeners who are listening to the show. Yeah. No, I think it's going to be a great weekend. We'll be back Friday night after the Friday night action. I think we're going to probably stick to last year's schedule of Wednesday nights, Friday nights, Sunday nights. That's when we're going to record. But you guys go check out Foul Pole's website. We're going to get some more merchandise up, new videos, new blogs.
Go get you one right now.
Yeah, get you a shirt. So you guys, if you have anything you want to tell us or talk to us about, message us, tweet at us, do whatever you want. We're trying to engage with the audience. We're trying to grow this college baseball community and make it a little bit of entertaining. So whatever you guys need from us, let us know. Besides that, Dimitri, great show. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back Friday.
Yep. Y'all take care.